say. Can you hear me? Over.
Is that doggy in the window? Woof woof. The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? Peter, I do hope that doggy's for sale.
I spy with my little eye something. Something beginning with...
Beginning with T, I'd say.
T? Why T? You're meant to guess once the person says the letter, not before.
Well, it's obviously T.
Really? How so?
T for tedium. I can't stand bloody I spy.
Charming. Do you want the radio one instead?
No, thanks.
I thought you might like the distraction.
No, I'm good, thanks.
Are you sure?
Quite sure. Thank you.
Okay, I just thought...
You just thought what?
Well... No, nothing. Forget it.
Look, I know you've been worried about me lately. Please don't be. I'm fine. Let this just be about you, me and the open road. There's nothing like a drive to help one clear the mind, as they say. I thought that's why you suggested we go for a drive in the first place.
I did, and yes, I have been a bit worried of late, but okay. As you say, let's just enjoy the drive. It's just nice to get out of the house and blow the cobwebs away.
You can say that again.
It's me, little Peter. Never forget, once a bastard, always a little bastard. No one wants a cuckoo in their nest. Once a bastard, always a little bastard. Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo.
Shut up, you horrible old cow.
I'm sorry. What did you just call me?
What?
You just call me a horrible old cow, if I'm not mistaken.
What? I did what?
Are you okay? Why is the car speeding up?
Speeding up? All too fast, out of control.
Peter, you're starting to scare me. Pull over and I'll drive.
I'm not a cuckoo. I'm not a bloody cuckoo.
You're not what? Peter, what the hell is wrong with you? Slow down or pull onto the hard shoulder before you kill the both of us.
Oh, God. Yes, I'm sorry.
Look out! Glad to be home and in one piece. No thanks to you. What on earth happened? You've hardly said a word all the way home.
It was Beryl.
What was Beryl?
The voice.
The voice? Beryl? You're not making any bloody sense.
I could hear Beryl's voice in my head. She was singing.
Singing?
Yes. Singing. How much is that doggy in the window?
Peter, stop, please!
Once a bastard, always a little bastard.
Peter, that's enough!
I'm sorry.
Don't get yourself so upset. You've nothing to be sorry for. There is only one person to blame for this, and I only hope she is ashamed of what she's done to you. Come on, I'll make us a nice cup of tea. And once you have calmed down, we can talk about what happened today.
Hello?
Now, slowly and calmly, tell me what was happening to you out on the road today.
The only way to describe it is a lack of control. Just a total lack of control. And it's not the first time it's happened, if I'm being honest.
What do you mean by not the first time?
Remember when I went to Manchester for that conference a few weeks back?
Yeah, of course.
Well, you remember, I set off early. I recall it was still really dark. Everything was fine. I joined the M1 and...
You joined the M1? And what?
Yes, sorry. I joined the M1 and...
Oh, for God's sake, Peter, what happened next?
What?
Earth to Peter? You're about to tell me what happened. You were heading north and...
North. Yes, north. I'd gone about 5 miles and I started overtaking another car. When suddenly...
Yes, go on.
Suddenly, a feeling of fear starts to creep up on me. My right leg feels like it's out of my control and my foot is welded to the accelerator. The world outside is rushing by and all I want is to make it all stop. I feel a sudden longing to slam on my brakes come over me.
Oh, Peter, it sounds a dreadful experience.
It was. I'm not sure I can continue talking about it. I'm starting to feel like I'm back behind the wheel again.
Take my hand and breathe slowly. And remember, you're safe at home and sitting in our kitchen. Now, go on. You were saying you just wanted to slam on the brakes.
Yes, that's right. The brakes. But I couldn't. You see, because there's another car right behind me and then...
Yes, and then?
And then looming up ahead is the entrance to an underpass. 3 lanes wide, waiting to engulf me like the mouth of some mythical beast. I enter the tunnel at speed. And then I hear her.
Hear who?
Auntie Beryl. Just like some old, decrepit siren. She's calling from the rocks, taunting me.
Cuckoo! 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 Can you hear me, little cuckoo? It's your favourite auntie. Are you scared? I bet you are.
Yes, I am scared, I say. But she doesn't care. She just carries on mocking me.
Oh dear, all alone and no one to help you. Poor little cuckoo. Let Auntie sing you a song to calm you. How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? That doggy, he must die today.
Shut up! Just shut up, you old witch! I shouted. Finally, after what seemed a lifetime, I exited the tunnel and pulled into the first lay-by I came to. I regained my senses and just stood by the car waiting for dawn to arrive. Then, with just the early morning sunshine for company, I was once again Lancashire bound.
I had a feeling there was something not quite right with you lately. And by the way, why is this the first time I'm hearing about all this?
I guess... hoped it was a one-off bump in the road, so to speak. Sorry, bad choice of words.
Too bloody right! It's a bad choice. A bump in the road? More like a sinkhole. You could have been killed.
Killed?
Yes, killed! And I'm too young to be a widow.
Well, you do look rather fetching in that little black number of yours.
Nice try. Very flattering. But unfortunately for you, not distracting. How dare you try and change the subject? You could have killed us both today.
I'm sorry. You're right. I didn't mean to trivialise your concerns, considering what happened today.
Look, it's been 2 months since Beryl left this house. I thought by now things would start getting back to normal. What happened to my brave sheriff sitting on his white horse, the man who ran that evil Auntie Beryl out of town?
I fear he's since been thrown from his mount and is now living in the saloon, little more than the town drunk. A figure of fun for the townsfolk to point at behind his back and mock.
You just need help. You beat Beryl once and you can again. No, you will beat her again.
I hope so. I really do hope so.
You will, my darling. Understandably, the adoption revelation came as a major shock to you. I think you should speak to a doctor or a counsellor, maybe. It's clear you have had a lot to process, and talking to a professional, I feel, would be the best. So, what do you think of the idea?
As you well know, I'm not great at discussing my past and the feelings it brings to the surface, but yes, if you think it will help, I'm fully on board with the idea.
Well, that's good to hear. I think it's just what you need right now.
That's what she thinks. Well, let's see, shall we? Little cuckoo, I've more in store for you. I've only just got started.
Mr. Mason now. You can send him in.
Yes, of course, Dr. Shelley. Mr. Mason, Dr. Shelley will see you now. She's in room number 3.
Okay, thank you.
Now, good luck, and just be honest and tell the doctor all about how you're feeling. And remember, I love you. And I'll be right here waiting and reading this year-old issue of Town and Country from cover to cover.
Nothing says I love you more than the diligent reading of an out-of-date magazine. I'm one lucky guy.
You sure are. Now get going. The doctor's waiting.
Good morning, Dr. Shelley.
A very good morning to you, Mr. Mason. Please, take a seat.
Thank you. Where would you like me to sit?
Wherever you feel most comfortable.
Well, there's a rather nice wine bar across the street.
I'm sorry?
Just a little joke, Doctor, to break the ice, as they say.
Ah, I see, yes. Very droll. And seeing it's only 10 a.m, let's take an old-fashioned approach, shall we? May I suggest an armchair?
Thank you. Sorry. Just a bit nervous since the wine bar remark.
It's fine. I totally understand. Now, let's start by...
Are you going to say, now tell me about your childhood?
What?
In the movies, that's what the shrink... I mean the doctor normally opens with that line in these situations.
Mr. Mason, may I call you Peter?
Yes, please do.
Thank you. Peter, this is a counselling session, not an Alfred Hitchcock thriller. No close-ups of your brow showing every bead of sweat. No wall clocks showing the hands moving quickly to mark the passing of time.
No, of course not.
I'm here to help, not to torture you. And besides, I only start waterboarding my clients during their second session with me.
I'm sorry? Yes, I get it. Good one, Doc.
Now, can we start from the beginning, please?
Yes, sorry.
It's fine. It's just you and me, no one else. Nothing to worry about.
Did you hear that, cuckoo? The nice doctor says you have nothing to worry about, and it's just you and her. What does she know? Well, I'd be asking for your money back if I was you. Because you and I have unfinished business. Do you hear? Unfinished business, I tell you.
Shut up and be quiet, won't you?
I beg your pardon.
Sorry?
I thought you just told me to shut up and be quiet. If that's the case, this will be a very quick meeting. Very quick indeed.
I'm very sorry, Doctor. I meant no offence. It was my Auntie Beryl.
What was your Auntie Beryl? And why are you whispering?
Yes, that's right. Auntie Beryl. And I'm whispering so she can't hear us.
Hear us? How could this Auntie Beryl, as you call her, hear us? Can you see her now in this room?
No, of course I can't see her. I'm not crazy, if that's what you're getting at. Well, I can say that I'm starting to question my sanity of late.
No one is saying you're crazy. And besides, crazy is not a word I like to use. So please, just calm down. Now, tell me all about Auntie Beryl.
Yes, Cuckoo, tell her all about your very favourite auntie. Oh, and please don't forget to mention I'm in your head at this very moment. She'll have to lock you up in a padded cell by lunchtime. With any luck.
It's complicated, Doctor. Very much like my relationship with my Auntie Beryl. I'll do my best to explain the situation.
Good. Because that's what we are here for, after all.
Indeed. Well, earlier this year, my Auntie Beryl had come to stay with Sally and me.
Sally?
Yes, Sally, my wife. She's currently sitting in your waiting room.
I see. Please, do continue.
So, as I was saying, Auntie Beryl came to stay with us due to certain circumstances.
May I inquire to those circumstances?
Yes, of course. Beryl was having to sell her home and move into a care home. But due to COVID, we took her in and acted as her support bubble until such time as it was safe for her to move.
Very commendable. So do I take it you and your aunt are close?
Far from it, Doctor. We've never got on. Sally is the commendable one in this story. She convinced me to take Beryl in.
Oh, I'm bored with all this rubbish. Why don't you get on to the good stuff? You know, the bit when I ruined your life.
It's my story to tell, not yours.
Yes, of course it's your story, Peter. I never said it wasn't.
Ever since I can remember, Beryl was mean to me. She acted like I was the nephew from hell. I never really understood why until she came to stay.
Very interesting. Please continue.
A few hours after she arrived, Sally overheard Beryl having a telephone conversation.
Oh, overheard, did she? Tell the doctor the truth. Your nosy little bitch of a wife spied on me.
Spied on you? Oh, yes, it was all very tinker, tailor, soldier, spinster. And yes, I was the puppet master, the one who sent Sally out on her secret mission.
Is that so? Well, now I'm the puppet master. And you are my little puppet now, Cuckoo.
Peter, can you hear me?
What? Yes, of course I can hear you, Doctor. Why?
I ask because for the last few minutes you've been holding a conversation with yourself.
That was what?
Holding a conversation with yourself, and you were totally oblivious of me and your surroundings.
Really? What was I saying?
Something about spies and puppet masters. To be honest, it didn't make a lot of sense. Who were you speaking to? Or rather, who did you think you were speaking to? Auntie Beryl?
Yes. Auntie Beryl.
I see.
I'm not sure you do, Doctor. I know it sounds, well, crazy. Oh, sorry for the use of that word again.
No problem. It's fine.
I'm sorry to say she's in my head and refuses to leave. Once she left our house, I thought I was rid of her. Now I feel like that kid all over again, the one she hated and bullied at any and every opportunity she got. Do you mind if my wife joins us? I'm feeling a bit anxious.
Yes, of course. That's fine. Mrs. Mason, could you join us, please?
Yes, of course. Is Peter okay?
Yes. I'll explain everything and please take a seat.
Thank you. Peter, are you okay?
No, not really.
Doctor, please, what's going on?
I fear, Mrs. Mason, that your husband is having a breakdown.
I thought there were some issues, but a breakdown?
Peter informs me that he hears the voice of his Auntie Beryl in his head. I understand they have had a somewhat interesting relationship over the years, it could be said.
Yeah, interesting, to say the least. I discovered that Peter was adopted and his aunt was planning to break the news on her departure. She was looking forward to it, really relishing the moment. But Peter beat her to the punch, so to speak, before she could rub his nose in it.
Oh yes, a very interesting relationship indeed. I'd say it's been my life's work to make him unhappy from day one. Yes, that sums it up very nicely. Very nicely indeed. And what did you go and do, cuckoo? You took away my moment of glory.
Why can't you just leave me alone?
Leave you alone, my dear little cuckoo? We are family, and family stick together. I'm going nowhere.
Doctor, why is he talking to himself? Peter! Peter, can you hear me?
He can't hear you, Mrs. Mason.
What do you mean he can't hear me?
Peter is currently locked in a battle with his subconscious. If I try to bring him out of it, I could cause permanent damage to his mind. We need to wait until this current episode is over.
How long will it last?
No way to tell at the moment.
You must do something, Doctor, right now!
All I can do at this point is call St. Stephen's and see if they have a room available for your husband.
St. Stephen's? But don't they just deal with mental health issues?
Yes, that's right. I work there when I'm not here in private practice. I can assure you he will have the best of care. I will see to it personally. Peter will be in the best of hands, don't you worry.
Oh no! Poor Peter!
Did you hear the doctor, my dear nephew? You will be in the best possible hands. Don't worry. All you need is the loving embrace of your very favourite auntie. I know what will make you feel better. Let's sing a song to keep our spirits up, shall we? I know you know the song. Sing it for auntie. There's a good little cuckoo.
How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that doggy's for sale.
Listening to Torment of the Cuckoo, an original audio play written and directed by Ian Reid Golden, sound editing by Stephen West. Peter Mason was played by Ben Dangerfield. Sally Mason was performed by Aoife Boyle. Auntie Beryl was performed by Jill Taylor. Jackie Widnall played Dr. Shelley, and Dr. Shelley's receptionist was played by Danielle Keane. Music credits too: The Kid Who Played Along by Marcus H. Bolanos. Dark Decision by Surratt. Torment of the Cuckoo is part of Overheard, a series of original audio plays produced by Danielle Keane and Stuart Clark, presented by the Woodhouse Players. Original Overheard soundtrack by Alex Kemp. Incidental sound effects courtesy of BBC Sounds. To listen to other plays, check your podcast supplier, hit the subscribe button, or visit woodhouseplayers.co.uk. www.mrmason.co.uk.